Either way, let's take our Bibles and let's say the words that are up on the screen together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, I do pray today that as I minister this message on your love, that you will change our lives, that you'll bring about the change that's necessary in each of our lives. And Lord, most of all, that we will come to fully know and experience the love that you have for us, and we can live and enjoy a spirit-filled life. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be wrapping up the series that we've been in, that we've simply entitled The Spirit-Filled Life. And I want to wrap up this series today with a message that I've simply entitled The Power of Love. And I want you to see today how that living a spirit-filled life is living a life that is also experiencing the power of God's love in our life. And so let's first go back though, and let's go to our text, and then I want to do just a little review of some things that we've already learned about living a spirit-filled life. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. This is Paul writing to the church like he would write to us. He says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts." Now, here's what we've learned from what the Apostle Paul said. We've learned that each of us determine for our life the supply of the Spirit that we enjoy. We determine whether we're full or half full. Now, we understand that every believer has the Spirit of God on the inside of them, but are you tapping into that reservoir? Are you daily conscious of God's Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to be your guide in life, to help you? You know, that's what the Bible says the Holy Spirit is. He's a helper. Listen, whether you believe it or not, y'all need some help. Come on, we all need help in living the life that God intends for us to live, that Christ died for us to live. We cannot live it without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so we've looked at the role of the Holy Spirit. And as we looked at the role, we also saw what a spirit-filled life looks like. In fact, I just want to go quickly, and as I go through these, each one of these was one of the weeks in the series. So you can go out to our website, you can download the podcast, you can watch the video if you missed any of these. But here's what we've learned. The spirit-filled life is a joy-filled life. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to bring us joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We saw that a spirit-filled life is a truth-filled life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Bible says He will lead and guide us into all truth. Now, the Spirit life is a hope-filled life. In other words, the Holy Spirit brings us hope. We can be filled with a confident expectation that everything is going to turn out well for us. We have hope. Now, also we learned 2 weeks ago, we looked at a part of the Spirit-filled life. Really, I'll put it this way. We looked at a dimension that the Bible talks about, an experience that you can have with the Holy Spirit, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as is talked about in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And we saw that Jesus told the disciples that if you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that power will come on you, and you will become a powerful witnesses. And we saw that when you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you become a receptacle through which God's power can flow flow, and particularly the nine gifts of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that everybody who's been baptized with the Holy Spirit is resourcing or using that power, but it does mean that if you are baptized and you've experienced that experience with the Holy Spirit, that you have put yourself in a position so that you can be a powerful witness. And then we also learn that the Bible teaches us that one of the ways or one of the things that happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit is that there is this experience that the Bible calls speaking in an unknown language. It's speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. It's not weird. Like I said last week, you may know somebody, you may have met somebody in your spiritual journey who talked in tongues and they were weird. But that does not mean that praying in the Spirit or talking in tongues is weird. That person is weird and you know they've always been weird. But this is an amazing gift. We have to make sure it's not abused, it's not misused. But one of the primary ways that this gift is used in our life as believers is to pray powerful prayers, to pray beyond our knowledge. It says when you are speaking in tongues, you're talking to God, not to people. And so we got to use that gift correctly, but it's powerful prayers. Now, today, I want to talk about the power of love. I don't know in my spiritual journey anything that has had more of an effect on my faith, caused my faith to increase more. I don't know of anything in my spiritual journey that has brought more strength, healing, or peace or joy in my life than growing in and experiencing God's love for me. I don't know of anything that has changed my life more than experiencing, just having a greater understanding of how much God loves me. And not just knowing it, but experiencing it for myself. You see, we have to go from God so loved the world to God so loved me. You got to know that if you were the only one, he would have done it all for you. It has to be personal. God is a personal God. So let's get into this message today, the power of love. And I want to show you the role the Holy Spirit plays in our life to help us know and experience the love of God. And so go with me to Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading with verse 3. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. There ought to be a lot of happy people right now. Come on. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now here again, the Apostle Paul is writing this passage, and he said, the reason you know how dearly God loves you is because the Holy Spirit has filled your heart with God's love. Sounds to me like that's the Spirit-filled life, filled with the love of God. Listen, we will never fully know God's love for us without the help of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? I want to say that again. We will never fully know the love of God without the help, or I'll put it this way, we will never fully know God's love for us without the help of the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways we can live a Spirit-filled life is we can engage the Holy Spirit, ask him to help us understand how much God loves us. Wow. Spirit-filled life is a life filled with love. You want to kind of use a metric to see if you're living a spirit-filled life? Are you sensing God's love for you daily? Are you loving others? Do you think about loving others? Is love important to you? How you treat people kind? That's a spirit-filled life. We could all ask ourselves this question, do we fully know God's love? You know what the truth is? While many of us have grown in our knowledge of God's love for us, there's always room for growth, and none of us fully know or understand God's love. Well, always, there's always more to know, always more to experience. You know, I think it's kind of like putting cream in your coffee. The Holy Spirit's like the cream, and when I put cream in my coffee in the morning, I don't just put the cream in. Before I drink it, come on, you know what I do? I stir it up. Because if I don't stir it up, I don't get the whole effect of the cream. Well, listen, this morning, I want to teach you how to stir up the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can know and understand, experiencing for yourself just how much God loves you. I want to tell you. If somebody's grumpy, they don't know how much God loves them. If they're living a grumpy life, if you're constantly discontent, if you're never satisfied, if you're insecure, if you're not stable in your life, then somewhere you're missing. You haven't stirred. This morning, I want to stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and He is the one that God has given you to show you and help you understand the love of God. Right. Now, let me read for you again this part of the scripture, Romans 5:5, just the last part of that verse. It says, "For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." Now, that word "fill" there is used, it's a word that's used in other translations as "shed abroad." And here's what that word means. It means to bestow, to pour out. And Thayer says this, "The Holy Spirit gives our souls a rich sense of the greatness of God's love for us." You see, through the Holy Spirit living inside of us, God wants our souls to be rich with the knowledge of His love for us. That means we go through life knowing that we are loved. Come on. I remember when, you know, I first met Jeff and we were really in love. In fact, some of you, you know, were here at the church, you know, when we first started dating, and people were going, "Have you seen Pastor Jane? I can't believe it." Because you're just in love. When somebody loves you, when you're being loved, it helps fulfill your life. The experience of being loved. Now, this doesn't happen with God, but with people, and it's true. People said, "I'd rather be loved and hurt than never be loved." Come on, because it's true. When you open up yourself to be loved by people, you could also be hurt. But the experience of love, the power of love. But listen, being loved by God will never get hurt. And here's the thing we need to ask ourselves. How rich is our souls? How rich is the knowledge that we have of God's love for us? And can I say this? The richer your soul, the better your life. Come on, the richer your soul, the better your life. Now, let's talk for a minute, too, about God's love defined. Let's define this love. You know, you probably know that this word love is the word agape, and it is not used in classical Greek. In that day, the word agape was only used in a religious writing. It is particular to religious things. And so this love, God's love, is not like human love. This is the word agape used there. You cannot measure God's love by measuring human love. You will always come up short. But here's how this word agape, God's love, is defined. It is defined as charity. It's meaning benevolent love. Benevolent is a type of giving. I like this statement by Spyros Zodiotis, who's a Greek scholar. He said it is God's willful direction toward man. It's a giving love, charity, benevolence. And in fact, the Greek writer goes on there to say that this kind of love doesn't always do what the person being loved wants done, but it does what the person loving deems is necessary for the person being loved. Come on, parents. Your two-year-old thinks you don't love them when you take away that treat just before dinner. But you see, the one loving deems that it's the best thing for them, or a little swat on the hand or something to teach them. No, they don't like it. Come on, the one loving is wiser. God is wiser, and his love for us, it's a benevolent giving love. But let me describe God's love this way, because that word agape also is tied to compassion. It means that God is moved. He has compassion toward us. And because he is moved with compassion, if you just break down the word compassion, it's with passion. He's crazy about you. God's passionate about you. Come on, you ever met someone with passion? There's just something. I've listened to some people, I don't even agree with what they're saying, but they are so passionate about it that I'm just listening. Come on. You see, God is passionate when it comes to his love for you. But this compassion is also connected to benevolence or charity, a willingness to give whatever you need to make you whole. That's the love of God. It is a giving kind of love. God says, I will give whatever I need to give to make you whole. And we know that he gave Jesus. Really, we could say this, that love is measured or revealed by what a person is willing to give. You say, oh, we love that house. Are you willing to pay that much for it? No. I remember, again, back, you know, Jeff and I are celebrating 17 years this year in October, but back when we were first dating, I remember we had Sunday night services back then, and we went out after a Sunday night service. We were out after dark on date night this week, and we were like, wow, we are out late. we were out, and our relationship was progressing, and we were talking about our future. And Jeff made this statement. Jeff has three daughters in Minnesota, Molly, Katie, and Aaron. And he looked at me and he said, you know, I would give my life for Molly, for Katie, and Aaron. Without thinking about it, if they were in trouble, I'd give my life for them. And he said, I realize I'd give my life for you, Jane. I do. Go ahead, put the rent. I do. Come on. You see, what he was doing by his giving is he was revealing to me how much he loved me. Ladies, if he ain't willing to give you his check, now you better do what's right with that check. You know what? If she's not willing to give some, if two people aren't willing to give in that relationship, right. Come on. You know, I think about our boys. Jeff and I adopted our two boys. Y'all know them, Stephen and Ethan. And if our boys were in trouble and we could help them get out of that trouble, maybe even their life was in danger, but we would have to pay a certain amount of money, how many of you know, we'd empty our bank accounts. Because we're willing to give anything for them. Now, can I just say this? I'm not emptying my bank account for y'all. not unless God told me to. Because see, now listen, here's what you need to understand. And I didn't just say that just to tell you I wasn't going to do that for you. I said that to help you understand God's love is inexhaustible. Can I tell you, your love is not. So don't spread your love too thin. If not, you're going to cheat the people that God has told you to give your all to. Don't cheat the people that God has told you to give your all to. Your spouse and your family, your church. Don't cheat the people. There's different for man, for woman, for us, you know, in the flesh, we have to limit the people we can love because our love can be exhausted. God's love, it's inexhaustible. God so loved the world. Wow. That's agape. And he is willing to do whatever it takes to make us whole. Now, let's talk. I said we're going to stir you up and help you to stir up the Holy Spirit on the inside of you so you can live loved, live in the power of love. Well, I want to take you to a prayer, and we're going to spend the rest of the time on this prayer that's found in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole prayer, but I just want to start by reading the first verse, Ephesians 3:16. And this is Paul again praying. And he says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you, and he's talking about God, will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. So Paul here is praying for us. He's praying for the people of that day, and he's praying that God, through his unlimited resources, through his glorious power, will strengthen us. But how's he going to strengthen us? Through his Spirit. Well, his Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So we could say this about prayer. If you want to stir up the Spirit of God on the inside of you, prayer is one way to access the Spirit-filled life. When we ask God to strengthen us by his Spirit that dwells within us, we're going to get full. Come on, all of a sudden the power of the Holy Spirit is released in our life. Can I tell you something about God? And you'll find this throughout Scripture. It's just who God is. It's just how he does things. It's his character. It's his nature. He'll provide you with something, but for you to enjoy it fully, you got to ask. God never manipulates. He never controls. God is a big pro-choice guy. He wants you to choose him because he realizes that the best, the healthiest relationships are when people freely choose. Even choose. You choose how healthy your marriage is. Your choice. You can choose to be married. Some people can choose Jesus as their Savior. But how many of you know, after you choose him to be your Savior, you make a lot of choices every day that determines how you and your Savior do life together. You make some choices. Well, God here is saying, Paul is praying and asking prayer. There's the prayer petition that literally asks God. But let's go on and read what he asks God to have his Spirit do to bring about strength. We're talking about the power of love. Let's read verses 17 to 19. He goes on here to say, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Ooh, I want to get to that last part. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness, spirit-filled life. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from where?
God.
I believe Paul's prayer here when he's praying and asking the Father God to have the Holy Spirit strengthen us in these ways. I believe really that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in giving us strength is he increases our capacity. He increases our capacity so that we can experience these things. I want to give you three things that I believe, or three ways that our capacity is increased. Three things that we'll experience. Here's number one. We'll have the capacity to experience the fullness of Christ. You know, Paul prayed there. He said, Lord, strengthen us by your Spirit so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. In other words, that we would have a greater capacity in our life to experience who Jesus is, what he's done for us. That word Christ, Jesus Christ, it's all about the power of Christ in our life, his power to experience that. Really, another translation says that Christ would make his home in your hearts. Here's the question. Is Christ at home in your heart? Does he feel at home in your heart? Or does he feel like a guest? You see, I believe that when you're living in the fullness of Christ, then Christ feels at home in your life. In other words, he has access. You know what you do. You know, still, at my age, when I go to my parents, y'all know what I do. I go right to the refrigerator. I don't know why. It's just something about going to your parents' house. You go in and you open up the refrigerator because I have access. Because that was my home. I grew up here. I go back to the bedroom. Yesterday, I was there. My dad is going to be turning 90 years old on August the 11th. And so we're getting ready to celebrate that. No longer able to come out to church, but we go over there. I take church to him. Last night, I was at his house just visiting, sitting with him some, and I was in the back room doing something, and he wanted me out there talking to him. He goes, come on out here. I need you to talk to me. And he said, where were you? I said, I was in Larry's room. Now, that's my brother. He's been out of that house, I can't tell you how many years. But because he's gone, too, I felt like I had access to his bedroom, so I was in there. But come on, I felt at home. Well, see, you want Jesus to have full access to every area of your life. The fullness of Christ. And then he tells us what happens also when Christ is able to deal or to be fully at home in our life. Then we become rooted. Let me just say this. We want to fully know Christ because we come to know or to fully know God's love through the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that how we really see just how much God loves us? In fact, Romans 5:8, it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You see, when we're experiencing the fullness of Christ, we are seeing the expression of God's love to us. And it says, when you see the expression of God's love for us in Christ, then you will be rooted in love. To know Christ is to be rooted in the love of God. In other words, that's the way. If you want to become rooted in the love of God, then know Christ. Know Jesus. The more you see what Jesus has done for you, the more you understand the salvation package, I'll call it, the peace, the joy, the healing, the strength, living a Christ life. You see how much God loves you? I mean, it's like being a little kid at Christmas. You open five presents and there's five more. You open those five and another five. I mean, you just see how much God loves you, the peace, the joy, the strength, Here's the question, are you rooted in God's love for you? You see, a part of the power of love is stability and security. The roots speak of stability and security. And when you become secure, rooted in the love of God, you are no longer insecure. Or not as insecure as you were. Come on. I'm still overcoming insecurity, but thank God there's more stability in my life. The power of love is stability and security. That's one of the capacities that the Holy Spirit gives us, is this ability to know and enjoy the fullness of Christ and be rooted in the love of God. Here's the second thing regarding capacity. He gives us a capacity to understand the love of Christ or the love of God. Now, in this prayer, you'll see if you read it, Paul uses the love of God and the love of Christ interchangeably because they're the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us capacity to help us to understand. Let me read verse 18 to you again, Ephesians 3:18. And may you have the what? Power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. He's saying here, you need power to help you understand that the love of God, the love of Christ is so vast, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you. Power, the revealing of God's love. Have you ever plugged a device that was wired for 110 into a 220 socket? When I first became a missionary, went overseas, I didn't know that everything over there was wired for 220. So I plugged my little 110 device in that 220 outlet, sparks everywhere, and it fried my device. Well, now listen, you just can't understand fully the love of Christ without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You just say this, God's love is so powerful, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us understand. I had a teacher when I was in, my sophomore year, right here. Actually, I graduated from high school from Hillsborough High right here in town. But my first year, I actually went to Tampa Bay Votech. Tampa Bay, oh yeah, somebody. And so I had this wonderful teacher. I'm sure he's retired now because it's been more than a few years since I was a sophomore in high school. but you know what? When I first got in that class and I saw all these X's and Y's, and they did things a little differently at the technical school, and you went ahead and took algebra before you took geometry. So I knew very little about equations, you know, X, Y, it made no sense to me. But you know what? That teacher gave me the power to understand X, Y, and Z. And then guess what? I was able to solve some problems, and I was able to make some good grades because I had a teacher who enlightened me, who helped me to understand. And the first day in that class, I went way to the back of the classroom because I did not want to be called on. I sat there for a couple of weeks because you know how the teachers will call you up, come work this problem on the board. Well, I stayed as far away as I could from that board until I understood. And then I remember one day in class, he was a good teacher. He's really great with us, you know, with the students also. And one day he said, hey, y'all better, my maiden name is Hillman, because y'all better watch out for that Hillman up there. She's sneaking up on you. She made 100 on this last test. She's quiet, never comes up here, but she's getting them right. You know why? Because I had help. I had help. So much is solved and made better when we grasp how long, how wide, high, and deep his love is. Come on, there's some things in your life today. Some things maybe that have been hanging on for a long time that you could solve that problem. You could get that. Where's that insecurity coming from? Where is that anxiety coming from? Why am I so it could be solved if we got the Holy Spirit involved and saying, Holy Spirit, help me to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. I'm telling you, I would not be married to Jeff today if the Holy Spirit hadn't helped me to grasp the love of God. And see, here's what's wonderful. When you begin to grow in your understanding of how much God loves you, then you can receive love from others. Then you can give love from others. Now you have a greater capacity to give and to receive love. Now, we won't get in it today, but I'm just going to tell you, because of past hurts in my life, I had the door slammed shut on close relationships. I didn't know it, and I was inside going, oh, somebody come in, somebody come in. And really, God was saying, the door's locked. Why doesn't anybody come into my life? The door is locked. Say, why isn't that happening in my life? The door's locked. But you see, the love of God heals, sets free, increases your capacity. And I love this one. Number three, we'll wrap up with this. The Holy Spirit gives us the capacity to experience the love of Christ. Not just know it, experience the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:19 says this, may you experience, and this is still a part of this prayer, this is the final part, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Can we just all agree that while knowledge is good, knowledge coupled with experience is best? It's one thing to know how much God loves you. It's another thing to experience the love of God. It's kind of like knowledge is that 110 volts. But if you take that knowledge and you add experience with it, all of a sudden you're at 220. How many of you know there are some appliances in your house that will not run on 110 because 110 just doesn't give it the power it needs? Listen, there are some things in your life that you are not going to get there in God. You're not going to experience that blessing, that level of peace, that level of joy, unless you not only know how much God loves you, but unless you begin to experience it for yourself. Wow. Let me just give you a little question here. Would you like a doctor that just has a lot of knowledge? Or one that's already been doing that surgery for 20 years. Now listen, knowledge is good, and we have to start out with knowledge, and every doctor has to do his first surgery, so to speak. But come on, we serve a God that has plenty of experience, but he wants you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to experience his love. And then here's what he says will happen. Well, let me just say this. Knowledge of God's love coupled with experience is full power. And what happens when we have full power? It says we're made complete. We're made complete. That word there, complete, literally means to make full, to cause to abound, to flourish, to supply liberally, to render full or complete. For some of you, your papers, your spiritual papers right now would be marked incomplete. But God wants to complete the work he's begun in you. Knowledge without experience doesn't produce the fullness of life that God has for you. In the King James, Ephesians 3:19 is put this way, the New King James. It says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And that word know, there to know the love of God, is the word to know experientially. You see, the fullness of life and power that comes from God is love, because God is love. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to be stirred up in our life through prayer, as we begin to use our faith to believe him, to let Christ dwell in us full, in his fullness, to get rooted and grounded in the love, to have his power to help us to know the love, and then with that knowledge, to couple it with experience. So all of a sudden, we have the capacity to experience the love of God. Many times the experience of God's love comes through other people in your life. Sometimes it's just like the presence of God just comes on you and you just feel loved. Wow. And then you have the capacity to give and receive love. Let me just say this as we close. The Spirit-filled life is a life filled with the power of love, God's love. You know, I just think it's appropriate as we've talked about this prayer and the power of love and stirring up the Holy Spirit. I think it'd be good right now if I just prayed this prayer over all of us, this Ephesians 3 prayer. Can we pray that right now? You can join us online, but let's pray this. Father, right now, as I pray over this church and all of those watching, listening right now, God, I just ask you that out of the glorious riches of your resources, you would strengthen us by your Spirit in our inner man, in our hearts. Lord, that we would come to know the love of Christ, that Christ himself would dwell in our hearts by faith in all of his fullness. We would become rooted and grounded, knowing the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. And then, Lord, that we would also then come to know experientially your love, be made complete through the power of that love, as we know, experiencing it, the Holy Spirit helping us to do both. And then, Lord, our lives will be full and rich. We will experience the fullness of life and power that comes from knowing you. Lord, I pray that over them in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to give you an